Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Latte of Heaven.
Hello everybody, I'm so excited to share the evening with you. If you are on the East Coast, if you are on the West Coast, good afternoon. If you're in Australia, good morning. And anywhere else in the world that you are, sending you happy vibes and so glad to share this time with you. I want to start off by saying please bear with me this evening. I've had a terrible bout of laryngitis and a bit of a cold, so hopefully my voice will hold out. But I really wanted to do the show tonight because I was deeply saddened by the news that Sylvia Brown, the famous psychic medium, passed away yesterday morning in California. And so tonight's show will actually be dedicated to her and to her work of service to spirit. And so I would ask that the second half of the show, please call in with your positive and upbeat or inspirational stories about Sylvia. And I'll tell you a little bit about how she influenced my path. I just want to say she's definitely a pioneer, and I definitely wouldn't be able to do the work that I do and serve in the way that I do if she hadn't sort of made those paths clear and brought about a greater awareness for spirituality and for the field of spiritualism. I know that her name tends to bring up some controversy, and, you know, I was mentioning on my Facebook page that we're all human, and as we take form in the human body, we make mistakes. And by no way am I justifying something that she may or may not have done or saying what's right or wrong. But I would just ask that, you know, since she has passed, that we show respect and focus on the positive things that she definitely brought to this world of spirit. I first was introduced to her at a very impressionable age. I think I read one of her books when I was about 15, and definitely by 15, I knew that I had the ability of mediumship. I knew that I was psychic. I actually would be a little naughty with my gifts sometimes myself, and I would let my friends know when there was going to be a pop quiz at school, because my guide Robin always told me or gave me a heads up, so I would let them know. Little things like that. It helped me to get validation about the things that I was experiencing. And it also made it a little bit fun when, you know, sometimes walking a path like this can be difficult when you're a young person in particular, because you want so much to fit in, you want so much to be understood, and you're trying to figure out for yourself who you are and make sense of things. And you feel like you're an adult, but you're still a kid. So it's a very confusing time. So that was one way that I learned to understand my abilities and also had some fun with it. And my friends, of course, enjoyed it too. And acceptance with friends and even family members that might not have been as accepting or understanding about the gift. So I guess you'd say that was some of my first psychic reading or psychic prediction for picking up on those pop quizzes at school. So that's just kind of a fun fact. But basically, when I picked up one of Sylvia's books and she began to talk about her spirit guide that was known as Francine, I felt so validated. I felt so empowered because it was the first time that I was aware that, hey, there's somebody else that has this connection with this being or this energy that's outside of themselves. And for the longest time that I can remember, my mother and other family members would say she has an imaginary friend or she has a wild imagination. And I first began interacting with my guide Robin at the age of 4. I remember that only because Robin and I have collaborated to write about our journey together, and she reminded me of our first interaction. But, of course, when this was first happening, and there I'd be, you know, sitting with a tea set or my dog and having a full-on conversation with somebody beside me, Robin got known as my imaginary friend. And I think it's important that we understand that a lot of times kids that do have that sort of, I guess, what you'd call an imaginary friend, it isn't actually an imaginary friend. They are often talking to their guide or to a being or to an angel that's helping them on their path. I've mentioned this before in the past, but a lot of people ask me, how do you know the difference between when someone's having a spiritual experience, you know, or a child's having a spiritual experience between connecting to their guide or if there's something in the mental health arena that's going on that is not a positive thing or that is something that needs to be addressed? And the best way that I can answer that as someone with a background in mental health and also as someone with spiritual gifts is that any interaction that we have with spirit or that we have with our guides is only of highest integrity. And our guides and our angels would never, ever give us information or give us impulses or give us anything that would detract from our life, thing that would cause us to harm ourselves or somebody else. So if you see that your child's having a conversation with someone or something that you don't see, but it's bringing them joy or they're playing or they're happy, it's most likely a spiritual adventure kind of with their guide that's happening. And sometimes kids can get frightened because they're having these experiences, but someone else just doesn't see it. So it's important to allow your child to express what they're experiencing and try not to have fear, but just embrace it, be present with your child, and kind of nurture it. And as I found, when a child grows, you know, and they're starting to develop, there'll be periods of time where the spiritual gifts will kind of shut down. And it doesn't mean that they disappear, but they shut down in order to make it easier for the child to adjust or to connect with other people that may not be having those experiences. So it may be that when your child's young, usually before the age of 10, they may express talking to a guide, talking to an angel, or talking to a friend, and then it'll kind of disappear. Again, it doesn't mean the gift disappears. It just means for the time being, for this period in the journey, they need to kind of shut it down in order to function more easily in everyday life. And so I guess you'd say that Sylvia Brown's books were a life jacket for me. because I was trying to understand what I was experiencing while also trying to be as normal as I could be. And that was a bit of a struggle anyway, because as many of you know, I'm in a wheelchair, so that definitely sets you apart right away. And on top of it, you know, I'm having experiences talking or feeling energy and beings that other people aren't feeling. So it was definitely difficult at times, but I wouldn't change it for anything. And the first book that I actually read was about creator and creation. And Sylvia talked in depth about heaven and what her experience of heaven is through channeling and through some of the life experiences that she'd gone to or gone through that put her in connection with divine energy and with heaven. And a lot of it resonated with me. I even started having visions of heaven and visions of other people's guides that I hadn't seen before. And before I would read the pages in her book, I was a big journaler. I would journal about everything. And so I journal after my meditations, and I couldn't believe how many of my journal entries were similar to the descriptions that she wrote about heaven that I didn't even read until years after I had actually journaled about them myself. So it was the first time that I really felt understood, and I felt this connection with her, not only because she was having these spiritual experiences and making them okay, but also because she had an incredible sense of humor. And she made the spirit world so tangible, so friendly, so approachable in a way that I don't think a lot of other people who've even written about it have been able to do. Not to say there aren't other great authors out there, but she just had a way of making it accessible, I guess you'd say. And I fell in love with her guide, Francine, because Francine also had a great sense of humor. And so when she would channel messages from Francine in her book, they would just be hilarious. And I found that often I would read her books over again at different points in my life, and I would get something different out of them, and I never got tired of them. And as an avid reader, I don't often read books again because I tend to have a very photographic memory, and so I don't usually need to, but I would read hers again just to help me feel okay and to help me kind of connect even better with my own guide, because I felt like my guide, of course, knew what I was doing, and it made our bond closer. Another thing that she greatly touched upon, which really changed my life for the better, is she was one of the first people, at least that I know of, and if I misquote or say something that's incorrect, please feel free to correct me when you call in. And let me know what your feelings are on these things. But as far as I understand, she was one of the first to really talk about the female part of God, the female part of the divine energy. And she quoted the name of that female God as Asna. And I completely fell in love with the idea of the feminine part of the divine. And of course, she wasn't the first person to address this, but again, she made it very tangible. She made it very acceptable. I loved her book that really dove into Asna and to that part of divinity that I didn't really understand growing up. Now, she grew up in Kansas City, Missouri, and her father worked very hard in different jobs and was actually a jewelry salesman, a vice president of a freight line, and even did mail delivery. He was very, you know, a man's man and a hard worker. And so I think a lot of her work ethic, even in the field of spirituality, came from that kind of blue-collar, hard-working work ethic. And she started out as a teacher. That also is why her writing was so accessible and so easy to read, is that she kind of wrote as though she was teaching, which she definitely was. And when she started to have financial struggles raising her kids and at the time being divorced and a single mom, she decided to start doing readings at night after teaching. And she kind of always knew she had the ability because her grandmother and great-grandmother were very open about having visions and psychic experiences, but she never really did the work for profit or for financial gain. But it came to a point where she was apparently praying and asking how to help her life and the life of her children. And she heard in a vision, or she heard through prayer, you should start doing the readings publicly. And so she started doing readings privately for people, like I said, after school, in the after school hours, actually in her home. And it just caught on like wildfire. She was so accurate with her readings, so loving. And at the time, they were so financially affordable that people started coming in by the grove, and she couldn't believe how many months in advance she was booked. So that's kind of how it all started, out of a need as a mother. And she actually quoted in one of her books as saying that sort of opened the doors to her understanding of Mother God and to Asna, because as a mother, she was in great need, and she connected very strongly with this feminine part of the divine or God. And this journey led to a great church that's actually in the San Francisco area. It's in Campbell, California. And she started what was known as the New Spirituality. And the thing that I love about it also, about her philosophy and kind of her teachings, is that she was never one to tell you, this is right, this is the absolute, this is what you need to understand. She always said, take from my understandings what resonates with you, and the rest of it, leave it. She was really about making spirit accessible and work for you as a person. And she never thought that, you know, that her followers, that her fans needed to absolutely think that what she thought or what her experiences were the absolute truth. She just wanted to impart what her understanding was. And through this process, she wrote dozens and dozens of books, both on the paranormal and on spiritual topics, and became a New York bestseller author over and over again. And if you haven't somehow been on this path and not read some of her books, I would definitely encourage you to do that, because as I said, they are funny. They make the whole philosophy and foundation of spiritualism accessible, and they really do embrace, no matter what sort of your religious background or spiritual journey is, they embrace all philosophies and allow you to sort of, like she says, take from it what resonates with you, and the rest you can leave it behind. Interestingly enough, I was doing a little more research on her, preparing for this show, and her grandmother was a devout Lutheran, and her father identified himself as Jewish, and her mother was an Episcopalian. So as you can see, she definitely was influenced by many different aspects of religion. Although she did identify herself as Jewish. And as I've mentioned to many of you before, I was brought up in a Christian home. But I also resonate greatly with Jewish traditions because in later years of my adolescence and young adulthood, I connected with a family that are actually from Israel, and a lot of their traditions and what they believe greatly influenced my upbringing and sort of molded me as a person. But also, I became very connected with Kabbalah. And Kabbalah is also a type of philosophy that allows you to embrace Christianity beliefs along with Jewish beliefs. And that's sort of the path that I've taken. But her books touch on Jewish traditions and also on Christian traditions. So I think that, as I said, a lot of you, no matter where your background is, would resonate with a lot of her writing. She also, there's a lot of fun facts out there about her, but in 2006, she was featured on Young and the Restless, and she actually played herself. And I thought this was really, really funny because I, too, had a period of my life where I helped out on the soap opera General Hospital with film editing. I think it was in 97, and I got to know through a lot of those functions and doing that work a lot of people from different the different soap operas. And I found actually that a lot of actors and actresses were very open to spirituality and to meditation. And I got into deep conversation one day with one of the actresses, and she talked about how Sylvia Brown really got her on the path after her father died. And she and I would read some of Sylvia's time and then have these in great depth conversations about heaven, about what we both felt heaven to be. I have gone through different health issues and experiences myself where I definitely, I guess you'd say part of my spirit ascended from my physical body and went to heaven for a short period of time. And I definitely did see a golden gate that actually Sylvia talks about. And I had also met the council or the group of people that sort of are the, I always think of them as like the chorus that you think of in the Greek mythology stories. They're the ones that sort of tell the story. They're the ones that make decisions about your life path. They're the ones that kind of highlight, I guess you'd say, your life lessons. And it's not easy to access them or to connect with them, but she has written about them in great depth. And you can, if you get an Akashic record reading, connect to your contract here on Earth in this lifetime and find out what this council or what this chorus group of people in heaven believe about your spiritual path and why you're here in this incarnation, maybe how many past lives you've had, and sort of what your journey has been and what it will continue to be. She wrote a great deal also about reincarnation. Now, I personally am an avid believer in reincarnation for several reasons. I have been to different locations in the world, such as England, different places in France, and even in Canada, where I just knew I'd been there before, even though for this lifetime it was the first time that I had connected with that actual location. But it just felt familiar to me, and I didn't even need a map, which for those of you that know me well, I am emotionally challenged, particularly if I'm in the zone or connecting to Robin, which is like 90% of the time, I don't know where I'm going. But I went to these locations, and I just knew which direction to turn, and I knew I'd been there. And I even had visions about previous experiences there, and did a little bit of research and got through meditation names of family members that I had, and even on one occasion, a name for myself, which I researched, and it was an actual person that lived many, many years ago, and that just reconfirmed my belief in reincarnation. So I was fascinated and read every single one of her books about reincarnation. But another thing that really pounded my belief in reincarnation was that I've worked in great depth with children, children who've been victims of domestic violence, as well as children who are on the spectrum, children that have suffered from what mental health might diagnose as obsessive-compulsive disorder, things of that line. And just through talking with these kids, they will often talk about dreams that they've had or experiences that they've had about living in another location. And I think a lot of times they were sort of using it as a way to escape some of the trauma or the difficulty that they were going through in this life. But again, through talking about that story or that experience, or what some other therapists call using their imagination to escape, I found that they came up with names and locations that they couldn't possibly know if they hadn't experienced it in a previous lifetime. For instance, I was working with one little boy, and he was about 9 years old, and he'd actually been removed from his home because his parents were found unfit to care for him at the time, and he was brought to the location where I was working to stay there temporarily until he could be placed in foster care. And a lot of times, because of the traumatic experiences that these kids have had, they have difficulty sleeping at night. And I used to love working in the night hours or working in the evening, because I found that some of the most, I guess, in-depth work through counseling that could be done with the kids could happen at night as they're struggling to sleep, to just allow them to talk. And this one little boy in particular, he loved to cuddle, and he climbed up on my lap, and he just started telling me about when he lived in another place, and he gave me his name and what his job was. And at first I thought, okay, he's trying to distract himself from bad dreams or maybe bad memories. But then, of course, Robin, my guide, kind of chimed in, and she's like, no, no, pay really close attention. And luckily, as I mentioned, I have a really good memory, and so I could remember a lot of the details he told me. And when I got off work in the morning, I went and researched the area and the type of work and even the names he gave me, and they were actual names, families, and locations that were very prevalent in the Industrial Revolution. And there was no way that this little boy, I believe he was 7, could know about these things so in depth if he had not actually lived during that time and worked in that time period. And I journaled about it for hours, about how his aura changed, about, you know, how fluently he was describing these things in detail. And then, again, I would go back to, sort of as a reference library, Sylvia's books and read about reincarnation, and it just all made sense. So if you guys listening are interested in reincarnation or have had an experience where a child has talked about something that they couldn't possibly know of if they hadn't experienced it, I would definitely recommend her books again to explore and understand those topics. Now, we're coming up to the half hour of the show already. It flies by. And I definitely want to open the lines for callers to call in. I please ask in respect that you call in with positive, inspirational experiences or ways that Sylvia's teaching touched your life. And let's start a little of dialogue in her memory. And I'll also take a little bit of time at the end of the show just to have a moment of silence and send her a positive send-off. As I mentioned on Facebook, I'm sure there was a parade of people waiting to usher her in, and all her guides were excited to see her, but we'll take that moment of silence for Miss Brown. So we'll give out the number to call in, and I look forward to hearing from you guys.
Hey, you've been listening to Spiritual Connections Radio. This is Lattes of Heaven with Melissa Hebner. She is on every Thursday from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you want to find out more about this show and other shows, you can go to our website, which is spiritualconnectionsradio.com. To call in, please dial 646-716-9663. That's 646-716-9663. 9663. And if it's okay with you, Melissa, I'm actually going to go first.
Sure, of course.
So, you know, it's been about 4 years since I started my spiritual journey, even though there's been some in hindsight, there's been some things I can see in my childhood that showed a couple things happening along the road, some flags.
I understand
so when I started,
that.
When I started my spiritual journey, you know, one of the first couple books that I picked up and started reading was actually Sylvia Brown's book. And I haven't read a lot of her books, but I did read that one book. I really enjoyed it. Also, I think it was about a year ago, I was at the Mind Body Spirit Expo in Edison, New Jersey, and I was there with my friend Lisa from Massachusetts, who's a medium, who's a friend of mine. And we ended up going to the expo, and we got tickets, and we went to go see Sylvia Brown. And I had watched her on TV a little bit, and I had seen a lot of her stuff on YouTube. To be honest with you, I felt that she was a little bit dry. I always enjoyed her voice, because I always thought she always had that, you know, I know this wasn't the case, but she always had that voice like she had just drank a bottle of bourbon. It's that deep, heavy voice, you know. And I remember a year ago when I saw her that she was just absolutely hilarious, you know, just the way she would talk about spirituality and you know, the nature of everything. And, you know, you could tell that she had that sense of humor and that knowledge underneath her belt because she had done it for so many years. And, you know, it's just absolutely hilarious to listen to that. So with that, I'm actually going to bring Donna on. So hold on. All right, Donna,
hello.
You're on.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. I'm so glad you called.
I read all of Sylvia Brown's books. They're readily available at the library, which is very nice.
Oh,
and,
that's awesome.
Yeah, all of them are. And if that library doesn't have one, another library will order it. You know, they'll order it for you.
That's
from another
great.
Library. Yeah. And can I? I'm going to miss her. Yeah, definitely. She was incredible. I guess her son Chris will take over now. Be the main.
Yeah, I believe there'll be a handful of people. There's actually a large group of people that have worked for her with her for a numerous amount of years, and I think they'll sort of take the reins and carry on her legacy. Yeah.
Oh, very nice. Can I ask you a question? Is that all right?
Of course.
Oh, okay. I haven't been in a relationship for 6 years, and I recently, about a month ago, got onto dating internet, and I wanted to know if you saw anything coming through with this or if there was going to be another avenue for me to to meet, you know, to have a relationship, yeah, to meet a man.
Okay, hold on 1 second, please. Guide Robin is actually saying that the online dating is a good thing. It's something that you've opened yourself up to, and so it'll definitely help you to meet new people. But I feel as though that sort of significant long-term relationship you've been looking for is going to come from either someone in a work setting or someone that relates to, it's of course not a family member, but someone that a family member you're close to knows. So there'll be a link between your new love interest and someone that already knows you and them. So there'll be this comfortability because you'll know each other and you'll feel a little more trust the person because they were referred to you by someone that you care for and trust. But I do feel as though the dating online service is something that's a great thing to look into. Now, I'm not picking this next comment I'm going to say up psychically. I'm strictly speaking from experiences that I've both heard and experiences through doing other readings. But I found very interestingly that when somebody is supposed to meet their significant other on a dating site or through the internet in any form, it usually happens very quickly. And by very quickly, I mean it usually happens within the first 2 months. If it doesn't happen within the first 2 to 3 months of being on the service, it's usually not the way that spirit is going to bring that significant other, which doesn't mean that you can't go off of it and then come back at a different time because maybe the energy will be different. But I've just found over doing readings for people about the romantic interest and through knowing people who've actually met their wife or husband over the internet, if it's supposed to happen that way, spirit and God tend to make it happen very quickly. So, like I mentioned, within the first 2 to 3 months, and sometimes you can go off of it and then come back on and it'll happen very quickly. And I do feel as though there's potential to meet at least 2 people that will be very good as far as, you know, building a stronger relationship and maybe having something long-term. But, again, it's going to be 2 people that you'll meet quickly, and then you'll have choices because I actually see 3 people coming in, and you can choose the one that most resonates with your heart or, you know, most resonates with your spiritual growth. I do believe, though, that a strong significant other is going to come through someone that a family member of yours already knows.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I could see that happening. You know, I do have my sister living with me, and she's getting out there a lot. And, yeah, she'll probably keep her eye open for me.
There's also something. There's also, I just want to tell you really quickly, there's also something connected with meeting this person through, I don't know if it's like a dancing gathering or a group of people that just get together either once a week or once a month, but I see you meeting the person, one of the 3, you meeting them like that, and it happening very quickly. But it's through a gathering or a meeting that happens either weekly or monthly.
Oh, yeah, I was thinking of joining these meetup groups where you meet for, like, Spanish. Everybody speaks Spanish and art, and you just meet up with different people. You know, they have it on the internet, and I thought that might be fun.
Yeah, I feel very good about that, too.
Yep. Oh, good. Do you see me moving at all, or am I going to stay where I'm at?
Give me 1 second.
Sure.
I do see a move, but I don't see it right away. And so it wouldn't be, I guess, for another, 6 to 8 months. But I do see a move coming eventually. And time frames are a little hard to pick up on with moving because there's so many variables that fall into place, but definitely the beginning steps of that move will start to fall into place within 6 to 8 months' time.
Oh, okay. Oh, wonderful. All right.
Thank you so much for calling.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Hello?
Yes.
Okay. So you're all set for now, so I'll let you go ahead and go back to teaching. Thank you.
Okay. That can bring us back to Miss Sylvia. I'm sure she didn't mind for a little psychic reading to then take place during this time because that's what she, one of the things she did best. And she often said in her seminars that the most common question revolved around love, which is understandable. So that fits in perfectly. And she wrote a lot about our souls and our soul contract, and particularly about soulmates. Now, a lot of times people think their soulmate is that ultimate love or that ultimate connection. And there is a lot of love to meet a soulmate. But soulmate doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be a forever thing. A soulmate can actually be, believe it or not, you can have a soulmate connection with a family member. That, of course, isn't romantic, but you have this connection that you understand each other and you just feel like you've known each other for more than this lifetime. And so a soulmate can be the same sex as you or the opposite sex, and basically they come into your life to teach you lessons. And so with any type of lessons to be learned, the path can be bumpy because without the bumps, you can't appreciate when it's smooth sailing. And so a lot of times relationships that are really kind of turbulent and unpredictable can often be some of the characteristics of a soulmate connection. Really, when you're looking for that romantic partner, that real significant love, you know, that's intimate and romantic, you're really looking for a twin flame connection. And a twin flame is someone that basically their spirit is like, it's almost like an imprint of your own spirit. Not in that it's the same person, but there's just a connection where when you get together with this person, you feel like it's the other half of yourself. And a lot of times you'll hear people say, she's my other half or he's my other half. And it really is because from my understanding, each of our images, when we are being created, there's another part of our energy that can go into another person or be incarnate in another physical being. And it's only because when we connect with that person, whether it be in this lifetime or a next lifetime, we feel that understanding. We feel that connection of almost like coming home to ourselves. And usually with the twin flame or the romantic person will help you love yourself more, will help you understand yourself more. Now, this doesn't mean that they're constantly doting over you or, you know, or things that are just sugar-coated. This means that they can look at your imperfections and help you to love your imperfections, because in imperfections is perfection. And that's why, you know, no matter what cards were dealt, perfection and imperfection, because without the imperfection, we can't understand and fully comprehend the perfection found. And a lot of times with the soulmate and also the twin flame connections, they help us embrace our imperfections and learn to love ourselves more as we see ourselves through their eyes. So that's a little bit about the differences between a soulmate versus a twin flame. And when you are looking to find out information of a romantic other, you're more or less looking to know more about your twin flame. And Sylvia also addressed soulmates and love in many of her books. And one of the things that I greatly admired is that she talked about how loving the divine energy is. And she really made the idea of, you'll see a lot of spiritual workers in this field talk about love and light. She really made the word light as a light worker come alive, because she talked about the brilliant colors of heaven and golden gate and the lightness of energy and, you know, the light that surrounds angels. She used light as an adjective in a way that a lot of, I guess you'd say, mediums and psychics use now. Again, I don't believe she was the first person to sort of start these ideas. She was the first person to make them mainstream. And she definitely, I couldn't believe the last time I was in Barnes & Noble, she had shelves and shelves of books that cover all aspects of metaphysical ideas, of angels, of reincarnation. I mean, anything that you're interested on in this arena, I guarantee Sylvia has written a book about. And some of her most beloved work that I've read actually relates to the angels. And I know a lot of people think of Doreen Virtue as like the angel person, and she definitely is. I love Doreen. But Sylvia also opened the doors to help us understand the angels, particularly Archangel Michael and the art of energy healing. Utmost respect for her for really making these topics mainstream. And one of the funniest sort of, I guess you'd say, experiences I had with Sylvia, I didn't actually receive a reading per se, but one day she was on a radio show. And again, I think about either 18 or 19, around that age, she was on a radio show and she was doing readings, but when I called in the radio show, I couldn't believe it. My call got answered, and I don't even think that they asked for my first name, but I remember they said, you're the next caller. So she said hello, and as Mark said, her, you know, rough, kind of raspy voice, and I found it kind of funny that I'm struggling with my voice this week, and then we're doing this show. So again, that's in patronage in honor of Miss Sylvia. But I got on the line on the radio show, and they said, what's your question for Sylvia? It was called Ask Sylvia. I think it was on Hay House Radio. And I said, well, I don't actually have a psychic question. I just want to know about anything that you can pick up about my guide. Because, again, I was at a period where I really wanted to feel validated about my experiences with Robin. And she paused for a minute, and I was thinking, please, please, go through to her, please, 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 please. That's what I was doing on the other end of the phone. And she said, your guide is absolutely beautiful, but you already know that, and you see your guide on a regular basis. And I just started to cry because I couldn't believe that she understood that. And I guess you'd call it a reading, but I didn't call it at the time a psychic reading, but it was definitely a validation. And again, I just fell in love with her. and I felt like I knew her because she had that understanding. And all I could get out at the time of my mouth was, thank you, and I just started to cry. And she said, just carry on doing what you're doing. And that's literally all she said, but that was the inspiration to help me believe in myself. And really, I still use those little words of love and motivation as I was writing about my experiences with Robin. It was the reason why I wanted to really let Sylvia know how much I thought of her and the pioneer she was in this field. So I'm going to take a bit of a drink of water here, and I want to take a few minutes to just close our eyes and say thank you to Sylvia and give her a beautiful send-off into the other world. And I'm sure she'll be coming through and still giving us great teaching about spiritualism. So let's take those few minutes. Sylvia, we send you into the other world with the trumpets of Archangel Michael, the trumpets of Archangel Raphael, and your guide, of course, leading the way, Francine, who's thrilled to once again share the light body with you on the other side. And may you be filled with joy as you realize that heaven is as you envision, and as you connect with those that you've loved that have passed on and those whose lives that you've touched greatly while you were here and before their own passing. And may you continue to impact the world of spiritualism in a positive way. May you fill your light body with all the love that you've given back to people over the years as they've read the pages of your book. And may you just know with great gratitude, I and my listeners thank you for everything that you've done in this field with great love and light the other side. I love you, Miss Brown. Amen. So I hope she liked that. And again, I appreciate you guys listening and remembering to me in this way. A little bit more about on with me if you want to find out about readings that I'm
Melissa, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, just a little bit of a connection issue there. I'm going to make a quick announcement. Just want to let everybody know that we will not be doing a show next Thursday for Thanksgiving, and we will not be playing a replay. So you can tune in the following Thursday to hear Melissa on the air, and we're all going to enjoy a nice day with our families.
That's great, and it's always important to give thanks and fill our hearts with gratitude every day, but definitely take advantage of this day that's particularly about gathering with family and filling our hearts with joy and gratitude. And again, if you would like to find out more about me, just go to my website and the things that I'm doing. And thank you so much for sharing this time to honor Miss Sylvia Brown. And I look forward to talking to you guys next week.
Sounds good. Good night, Melissa, and have a great night, and thanks for everything.
Thanks. Bye.